Welcome to the Blessed Sacrament Homilies Podcast, where our mission is to help everyone recognize and experience the presence of God. We hope you are nourished and encouraged by the Word. Thank you for joining us.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Great crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and addressed them. If anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Which of you wishing to construct a tower does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if there is enough for its completion? Otherwise, after laying the foundation and finding himself unable to finish the work, the onlooker should laugh at him and say, "This one began to build but did not have the resources to finish." Or what king, marching into battle, would not first sit down and decide whether with 10,000 troops he can successfully oppose another king advancing upon him with 20,000 troops? But if not, while he is still far away, he will send a delegation to ask for peace terms. In the same way, anyone who does not renounce all his possessions cannot be my disciple. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Perhaps you have noticed, but over the last few weeks, Luke's Gospel takes a bit of a turn, and it can seem hard to understand. Jesus uses some imagery and some examples where he's usually so crystal clear that you, as I, often hear them and think he's talking directly to us. But these can be a little bit more confusing. So the best way to understand them is always to look at who the original audience was that the gospel was written for. And in doing so, we can put on a little bit of a different lens and see where these stories may have fit in. And for Luke's gospel in particular here, he's writing for those earliest Christians that faced a lot of difficulty in following Jesus. They may have been rejected by their family or their friends. They may have lost their job. They may have faced persecution from government leaders. They would have lived in a lot of stress. And these examples are reminding them that in taking on Christ and preparing themselves, this is kind of what it's going to be for them. And that they simply need to trust that in the end, even though they might lose everything, it's Jesus that offers them true life. So what does that say for us today? How do these stories still speak to us in the 21st century in Midland, Michigan? Well, the best way to understand them is that we too need to have our hearts and minds prepared. But most of us don't need to prepare in the same sense that those people did in the first century. We're not facing persecution. We're not facing those kind of struggles. But we still have crosses to carry. We still have burdens. We still have suffering. So how do we deal with it? Well, one of the ways that started in the very beginnings of our faith is through prayer. But how many of you find prayer to be difficult? Okay. How many of you have ever found a time in your life where prayer was difficult? A few more hands. How many of you will never raise your hand no matter what I ask? And a few more go up. Prayer can be really hard. I struggle with it. I find moments in my life where it seems to flow, and then I find moments where it can seem like drudgery. And I think part of my problem, and perhaps part of your problem with prayer, is that we place undue expectations on prayer. We look for particular results or things to happen, and we look for them to happen in our time frame as we see fit. But remember, we're the microwave generation. We expect instant results on absolutely everything. And real prayer doesn't often do that. But another reason why we place kind of wrong expectation is if we say that prayer is simply us sitting with a God who loves us, and we love God, someone that we should be intimately close to, then when we come to prayer, we should have zero expectations. In the same way that when you sit with someone you love, your spouse, your child, your parent, your grandparent, your best friend, you don't sit down to be present to one another with expectations. You simply just want to be together. And that's the best way that we can be a person of prayer, by not having expectations, just wanting to be present with God. And the other part of prayer that we don't anticipate, but trust me, is 100% real, is that the effects happen long after, and they continue. I know for myself, when I pray, and if I pray regularly, my life seems to just go a bit better. Things that normally stress me out somehow just flow off my back. Moments of suffering are just a bit lighter. Moments of carrying the cross that Jesus talked about somehow get easier. Because we recognize and learn to develop that vision we have way back somewhere in the core of who we are to know and recognize that God's walking with us. And that's what prayer helps us do. So if you're looking to build a tower or construct something, as Jesus talks about, the best way you can do it is by being a person of prayer, by being in conversation and being a person in presence with the God who loves you.